It is the Bro Con Show with Anna DeBlantis up for another day of broadcast insolence.
This particular show, aided by Novocaine.
Yeah, well, Novocaine's just now fully wearing off.
How long ago did you have your dental appointment?
I left the office at 11:30.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably is worn off.
Yeah.
Now.
Oh, yeah. Worn off. Yeah. Yeah. He shot me twice, too. I made him do it twice. I was like, no, not taking. It's not taking.
How do you know that?
You know what? When they're drilling, you know it.
Well, then you ask for another shot.
I mean, it was already like 40 minutes into the drilling, and it's like, ah, we got a little more to go. And I'm like, no.
You've got to be the worst patient.
Why don't you ask for the gas? That's the best.
I think he's afraid to give me the gas because of what
some
I might admit to.
Some places don't have it, but yeah. Why? Because then you have to sign a waiver.
Yeah.
I understand.
I have to have everybody sign a non-disclosure agreement if I get the gas.
Are there any recording devices in the room before I have this gas?
That's like my nightmare. I think about that all the time. Like, what would I say to the doctors and nurses if I'm all drugged up?
Oh, my God.
Embarrassing.
Well, I do have a story about this. When I had a wisdom tooth pulled out, you know, they give you they give you Versed.
Mm-hmm.
And fentanyl.
Oh, gee.
To knock you out, like, you know, short-term knockout kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Versed erases your memory. That's what it does. It turns off your memory cache for as long as it's
That's
in your system.
Kind of frightening.
For like, you know, 30 minutes or 40 minutes. So as you're coming out of it, you have zero short-term memory.
Mm-hmm.
So you are constantly repeating yourself.
So what did you say?
And not only are you constantly repeating yourself, but you are. But then you have a tendency to not remember exactly who or what you're mm-hmm. what you're in. And I just recall, I was. This is years ago. I was dating a young woman,
mm-hmm.
and she took me to the appointment.
Okay.
It was kind of an early date of ours.
Uh-oh.
To go to the appointment.
Tell
that
me
was
your,
kind of a mistake.
Tell me you did not. Forget her.
Wow,
name.
What a catch you were.
Yeah, exactly.
Really?
Well, it was like a couple of months in, and we were, you know, we'd already like traveled out of town together and everything. And then the assistant, like, I'm in the recovery room sitting in the like a little bench or something, and I'm mm-hmm. like, I don't know, it feels so good. And the assistant comes and goes, your wife is here to pick you up. I go, that's not my wife. Am I married? Oh, that's not my... Because I was recently divorced, and so I was like, I don't have... What? My wife?
It's embarrassing.
I was like that, and then she's like, oh. And it was like a very... It was an awful... Kind of an awful moment.
What was her reaction?
Yeah. Well, she still drove me home, as I recall.
Nice. Dropped you off.
Yeah.
To get out.
Did she stop or just kind of drive slowly by your house?
And then open the door and push me out.
Kicked your butt out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one didn't last long then, that relationship, or did it continue?
No, I married her too. But it was, but it worked out.
Why not?
Yeah.
You guys had a good run.
Yeah. We did. We had a nice run.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's how that goes. So I'm used to like the dental, but the funny moment here is that at one point during the procedure, the dental hygienist, the assistant,
mm-hmm.
like was in there with the dentist and, you know, doing the sucking, you know, with the thing, with the deal.
The suctioning.
And she is like, she said something to the dentist. I didn't hear exactly what it was over the sound of the drill and the screaming.
I can only imagine.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm about to cut through your tongue. Move your tongue. You're going to have a little trouble in your profession.
Scary.
I'm like, oh. And what do you like? Well, I don't know.
And they're like, what direction? Give me some more here.
Exactly right.
On the roof, to the left. What do you want?
I'm like, I don't know where the drill is.
I'm out of my mind.
Yeah.
Scared.
Look at the drill. Drill. Then stop drilling.
Oh, gee.
God, I hate the dentist.
I know.
I feel like I can smell the dentist when we talk about the dentist.
I feel like the dentist is your mother. Like, who would even say that?
About your tongue?
Yeah. Like,
well, he's going to cut your tongue in half. That's kind of, I think it's good fair warning, quite honestly.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty good.
Something you want to know.
Yeah, I think that, I give him credit for that.
How about the dental hygienist holds it over to the side or...
No, they couldn't do that.
Yeah, they usually wrap it with that stuff.
Well, right. That's what they like at a horse, you know, where you tie the tongue down. That's kind of like...
What have we learned about Roe?
Well, he said, I could do that, but then, you know, then you might you might gag on your own, the water in your blood.
Oh,
you know,
and so I'm like, oh, this is just awful.
You are rose strong. Oh, yeah. I didn't believe
there was a lot of, there was,
wow.
I got to just say that it was a mess. There was more, because they had to cut into like the gum area and stuff. Oh, God, it was awful.
I don't notice any splatter on you or anything. Did
I could show you a picture. I changed. And then I had to go, I went from that, I changed, and then I went to Windy City Live, and then I came here. But because I was wearing black, thank God, but it was like everywhere.
Oh.
It was, I swear to God, it was like a crime scene by the time I got up to leave. I looked back at the area, and I'm like, there is not enough luminol in the world to find all of the splatter in this scene.
It's a good thing you didn't just walk down the street, like walk home, because some officer might have found you and pulled you over.
I looked like half the guys that were standing on Michigan Avenue when I walked out. I could have done that. I could have just done that. Like, the big like bloody pie hole going in. Help me out!
Droopy lip.
Droopy, right. Whole thing like not quite working. All right.
I'm glad you're able to power through that, right?
Yeah.
Rose strong.
Rose strong.
It's remarkable.
That's how the whole thing started. And it started with this tooth.
Yeah.
This started in September.
That's
with
the
this
same
tooth. And it was, and they started working on it. Then they had to stop because they found another tooth that had a problem. They had to fix that one before they fixed this one. And now they finally get back around to this one. I'm like, what?
Moral is, take care of your teeth. I hate that whole routine, the whole thing.
I take care of my. Who do you think you're talking to?
I know you do.
I take care of everything.
But then how? Right? I mean, isn't that how you get there? We all. I mean, I've had a root canal too. So I mean,
just the thought of it.
It's awful.
I have you bit down. You know what this is? And this is your people's fault.
The Greek people.
The Greek people.
Why?
And I'm like Trump now. I blame. Based
random
on ethnic groups,
ethnicities. Sure.
Because I bit down on an olive pit
in
August.
That is bad.
And the whole thing, and it took out basically three teeth it took out simultaneously.
Oh, but olives are so good, it's almost worth it.
Yeah, it was almost worth it.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Was it a Kalamata?
No, it was a big green one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Not as worth it. But okay.
All right. So, you know those oversized green ones?
Yeah.
You know that are like, oh, those are so good.
Mm. Love them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Almost seems worth it now, doesn't it?
It does.
I think you might have actually drilled through the muscle on the side of my cheek.
We did not.
Godspeed. We're pulling for you.
Thank you. I don't know. Can we get Chris Bryant to, you know, dedicate his next home run to me or something? What do we do?
Just hit one for Roe. Do it for him.
Season hasn't started yet, but I'm gonna write him a letter and have him visit me in my dental chair,
Mr. Bryant.
Not actually in my hospital room, but I'm gonna, because they got to do the, they have to put the crown in next week.
Oh, gee, oh, you got God. Another appointment?
Well, yeah. They got to put the thing. You know, they got to. You know, this is just the preparing the tooth part,
mm-hmm.
And then they had to do the mold,
and then they rammed that in there, and it's all sore. It's something.
Speaking of the WGN-TV news, here is Ben Bradley. You can see him on the afternoon and the evening news on the WGN-TV. What are you working today, Ben?
Hello, I'm working all the shows today. 4, 5, 6, 9, and your big 10 o'clock show.
Yeah, they don't need to replace the pill, so they just get everybody to work.
Just have Ben do it all.
Yeah. So this is what happened. I took 2 days off, went to Mexico with my wife, and I've been back to work now for an hour and 23 minutes, and boy.
How's your colon?
It's personal.
Fine, thanks for asking.
Yeah,
and how was your trip, Ro?
Ben and I have a very intimate relationship. I'm able to ask him about his colon.
Yeah. Ask, okay.
Anytime
ask Ro
either
about
Ro or I head south of the Mason-Dixon line, it requires that
a
type
colon
of
talk?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So how's your stomach?
Yeah. Well, we could ask Ro the same question about our trip to Mexico, and it wouldn't be the same answer.
No.
That's all I'm saying.
Oh,
yeah. Mm-hmm. We had a
was that a listener trip?
And yep.
Yeah.
Oh. It was.
Boy, the listeners got to see the real Ro, didn't
Woo!
They?
That was really something.
Ro was actually in his room for much of that trip.
Yeah. That is true. That is true.
Emerge a lot.
Caught a little something, but yes. I just got back from overseas and I was fine.
Yes.
Yeah.
You did okay.
I did fine.
I cannot imagine the pharmacy you travel with when heading.
No, you out know the beauty. Let me tell you about the beauty of this. Whether it's Mexico or in, you know, where I was just in South America, they have the, or in Europe, they have the same thing. You walk into any drugstore and they'll give you anything. And I'm a self prescriber
yeah.
and a self medicator, a self doctor, you know, yeah. like I, so I know exactly what I'm going in and asking for.
Well, I got news for you. In Mexico, you can walk down the beach and they'll offer you anything.
Yeah, that's true.
And I didn't know whether to be offended by some of the things I was being offered or not, because I didn't need some of them. And
you know,
I was a little offended that he would suggest I might need some of them.
Yeah, they used to be Chiclets, now it's all Viagra. That's when you walk down the beach.
Viagra?
How much is Viagra?
Yeah.
Is it like a buck? Is like it really cheap?
I did not price it out, Anna.
They didn't tell you. Didn't answer.
Oh, that was a good trick, though. You were so good.
I was offended by the question.
You're so close to getting him to go, it's a dollar.
Well,
a bill.
It was the 3 for $10 was the best offer.
Yeah. That's exactly what you need to be doing when you're on vacation.
You definitely want to buy your Viagra from a guy who's also trying to sell you cocaine and ecstasy. That, by the way,
or braid your hair.
Yeah.
It's like, that's the guy.
And how about necklace for your kids? Necklace. Yeah.
So anyway, I do. Mexico is awesome, though.
It was great. You know, it was interesting talking with some of the folks, like our taxi driver and some of the other people we interacted with down there, say that tourism has been hurt. Obviously, you know, they've had ongoing issues with cartel violence in some of the areas, some of it creeping closer to some of the resort areas that we've known so well. I mean, I know in high school we'd go to Acapulco and whatnot. Acapulco is a no-go zone for many American tourists now. We were in Cancun, and our taxi driver was saying that, you know, the tourism had been going up and up and up, and then, you know, he blamed Donald Trump's rhetoric against Mexico and some advisories that had come out
from the State Department. Put a bunch of advisories out that were, I think, misleading at the best, because they were talking about violence on the beaches, but these are not this is not an resort, which are, by the way, very well protected. They have been forever. Mm-hmm. They've got federales and other people in private security on those beaches for years and years and years and years.
Well, violence in Mexico is a real threat to a lot of areas, but they take extra effort to protect their tourist areas because that's their main source of income. It would be a lot like, you know, a Mexican newspaper picking up one of our summer brawls on Oak Street Beach and saying, you know, that is symbolic of beaches all the time in our area.
Right.
You know, so I think there is a feeling down there among at least some of the people we talked with that advisory from the State Department was overly aggressive towards the type of crime situations a tourist might face.
I have a friend who canceled. He was going on a guy's trip, it was a bachelor party for one of his buddies, and they were all going down to you know, one of those major towns, and they canceled at the last minute.
Because of the State Department
advisory? Because of the State Department advisory. And I'm like, dude, just go.
Yeah.
But a lot of the people had never been to Mexico, and they were a little bit worried. I mean, Mexico, to me, is one of those places that is beautiful, friendly, with the exception of whatever I ate, but I know what it was. It was
the in-town tacos?
It was a, no.
No?
No, the,
off
the in-town was great.
No, it was
sushi. Probably not the best way to go. Sushi in Mexico.
At the airport yesterday, at the Cancun airport, there was Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville, where they sold authentic tourists, or authentic T-shirts to tourists inside the airport. And then next to it was a sushi and tequila restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, boy, that's an interesting airport choice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We did not
choose. How long's a flight? It'd be like the scene from Airplane where
you noticed on the airplane, they have managed to shrink the size of the bathroom yet again.
No way, really?
So they're now angling the toilet. So it's an angle, and then they've bubbled out the door. And, you know, I'm not a big guy, but boy, did I feel morbidly obese inside that thing. I was worried about getting stuck.
Try changing like diapers in there too.
Oh, it don't even start. Some lady changed the diaper right in the aisle next to us.
You should have seen Ben's nurse changing his diaper in there. That was
after a trip to Mexico,
almost impossible.
Yeah.
Anyway, what's coming up with the WGN TV news?
Well, we've got, of course, the latest on FBI director, a deputy director stepping down and the stories behind it. We're also keeping an eye on all this fallout at Michigan State University over the former Team USA gymnastics doctor, Larry Nassar, now the football coach, the basketball coach, coaches at Michigan State are being asked, hey, wait a minute, are you going to stay on? Marcella Raymond talking to a victim on the city's south side who burglars posing as utility workers approached that person's house. So that's a word of warning there. And, of course, Governor Bruce Rauner getting into it with his Republican primary opponent, Jeannie Ives. Tanya Francisco is covering that story.
Fascinating stuff.
There are some things. This thing is going to heat up. I think safely I can predict that Bruce Rauner is going to beat Jeannie Ives. And I think that safely, I think J.B. Pritzker's got a pretty good opportunity here to win outright. But those two, the general election in this state,
it's going to be ugly.
Is going to be one for the ages.
And to think if they would just take all of the money that Bruce Rauner and J.B. Pritzker are going to spend in an over-the-air battle and sink that into the state, how much better off we'd be.
And we're going to need it sunk into the state because I don't know if people saw this, but and we're going to have Brett Baer on to talk about what's going on with the FBI director coming up in just a few minutes, but I will also ask him about this. Did you see the president, the skeleton of the infrastructure program that they put out?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's really flipping the liability there.
Yeah, it's on the states to pay for the infrastructure.
So it used to be interstates would get paid for 80% by the feds and a 20% state match. He's talking about flipping that around
to 2080 and then and have the state be and then mandate the states do it, which again is another way to go after the high tax states and urbanized states, which are not blue, which are blue states, not red states.
Yep.
It's unbelievable. It's like you couldn't. It's so obviously political.
And then yet he can take credit for an infrastructure plan. He can say, hey, I proposed spending more money on infrastructure that's ever been spent before. Except it's not his money; it's the state's money,
right? And the states don't have the money to do that. That's one of the reasons that that's one of the things that's actually constitutional about the states. The states are responsible for the roads. The government's responsible for the roads, the post office, and all that. The federal government for the interstate roads. All right, you know what?
Let's move to Mexico.
Yeah. Take that, cartel!
You're getting a bunch of Americans moving down there. Ro and I are going to be first.
Yeah. Yep. Cheap Viagra. Exactly. not the only thing.
Well, it's not that cheap. All right. Thank you, Ben. We'll see you at 4, 5, 6, 9, and 10 on WGN TV News. Right now, we are 2 minutes away from Judy Pilak's news on WGN Radio. Ro Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right. Brett Baer is joining us from the Fox News Washington Bureau, where he is the editor of all things in Washington. Now, let me just say one thing here, Brett. A couple of weeks ago, we had you on, and you were talking about coming up this important interview we're going to have with General Kelly. You know, he's the chief of staff of the White House.
Oh, boy.
And you're like, yeah. And I'm like, wow, that's going to be great. Mm-hmm. How'd that work out for you, Brett? How'd that work out for general?
Made a bit of news.
Yeah. That is, I mean, and I was like, I was so proud that it was like that you were on with us that day and that it was, you know, one of those things. Now, that, you know, like everything that happens in this White House, you think that would be a story of an entire administration. But yet every day there's another story that feels like it is, you know, a earth shattering kind of one that goes on. You've got two today. One, you've got Andrew McCabe, FBI deputy director, who is stepping down. Now, this was anticipated, right?
Well, here's the deal. He was scheduled to leave, retire in mid-March, but he stepped down immediately as of today after pressure from the head of the bureau to leave because the FBI director said that the IG's report coming out is going to probably be scathing and that he should probably take his retirement when he first could, which was today. If you add up all his vacation days and sick days, he takes off today and he still gets his benefits as a federal employee for, you know, he's been at the Bureau since 1996.
As opposed to being fired?
Exactly.
Well,
he was removed, according to our sources.
That's right. I saw that if you look at Fox News today, it says removed. You see resign as being used on other news sources and stepped aside just in front of his retirement. New York Times said widely expected move. But then you saw others reporting that this was a surprise move that even stunned fellow members of the FBI.
New York Times has updated its story. Now has changed the headline to "Steps Down Under Pressure from FBI Director."
Okay,
following.
So,
That's a little bit different than resigned, you know, like just out of the blue. So I think what happened, with this is speculation, we know these are the things we know. We know that the FBI director, Christopher Wray, went up to Capitol Hill yesterday, and read the four-page memo that we have been talking about, that the House Intelligence Committee wants to release, possibly voting tonight to do so, and he read it. And had a conversation with the deputy director today, and he is leaving. So I don't know if you want to put two and two together.
Well,
I mean, some people are putting two and two together, and on the right and on the left, they're putting two and two together and coming up with a different suggestion here, which is that this is all part of the plan by the president to start to put pressure on the FBI and dismantle the FBI because it is investigating him. And there are those in the FBI who have investigated him and his connections to Russia going back way before he was even a candidate for president of the United States. So there are two ways of looking at this. And this is the problem that I have. The dismantling of organizations like the FBI, who have been pretty much above reproach for since the Hoover era, right? And since the Nixon era, if you take the, you know, the late 70s into the 80s, 90s, 2010, today, as they like to say in radio, you have you've got an institution that has been widely respected, does a very good job, considered to be the most professional law enforcement agency in the world. And because the president is under investigation for his ties to Russia, his business ties prior to being president or candidate for president to Russia, and connections with Russia during the campaign, right? That's a fair way of saying it. Those are things he has been investigated for.
Yeah, I mean, he denies that he has some big connection to Russia, but there are clear lines
that go that way
over the years.
There's an email with the kids.
Here's the point. Trey Gowdy is a former federal prosecutor who has the utmost respect for the FBI, what they do. He's worked with them. He's done investigations. This is a guy who I think is the barometer, most people say, up there. And he has real concerns about what he's seen about the FBI and DOJ in this investigation. And he is one of the people pushing for this memo to be released. Now, that, I think, raises alarm bells. I agree with you that Democrats say that this is all an effort to distract from the Mueller investigation, and they're going to try to release their own memo that they've cobbled together from the same classified material.
Right. Their interpretation
that the House
of
Republicans
material.
Have. But I think Trey Gowdy just historically has been kind of a barometer up there of somebody who is a straight shooter and has the utmost respect for the FBI.
So Trey Gowdy and Nunes are both saying this should be released publicly, and they seem to be trying to push it to happen. There's part of it, it's classified, right? And so they can't do that right now. But if you think about the fact that Christopher Wray, the director of the FBI, saw it yesterday, and that it may or may not have had something to do with McCabe stepping aside, does it seem to you that it warrants some kind of public release, or do you think these kinds of things are better handled just within, an investigator, some kind of, outside person?
Yeah, I mean, Lindsey Graham has said that he doesn't think it should come out because, you need context of all this stuff, and classified material is classified material. So it really lies with the president. The president could today say this should be declassified. The president has the authority to declassify anything. This president is not doing that. He is saying they need to vote, and he'll have a five-day review, and something tells me that they're going to eventually get this out.
It's eventually getting out. But the question is then, is the Democratic version of it going to get out too? The Democrat version of it going to get out? And
I would assume so.
Because if they both come out, then they're going to fight with each other over whether or not, it's the or the in the interpretation of it. And because I think what it's going to come down to is, from at least what we can assume here from the outside is they're going to, it's a set of facts, and you can look at it in terms of it, put it in the context of the time in which that these things happened and the decisions that were made, and you can, and reasonable people can come to two reasonable conclusions. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the argument that the yeah. people from and the House are making.
Boiling it down, this is probably coming down to
pretty political.
Surveillance of different people, including Carter Page, who was working with the Trump campaign. There may be others, based on telling the FISA court that their suspicions were raised from this dossier. Well, the dossier, as you remember, and it's tough to explain all of this, but was in part paid for by the Hillary Clinton campaign and the DNC, funding this group called Fusion GPS. And so I think that that's part of what this memo is going to show, is that the people requesting, including Rod Rosenstein, now the deputy attorney general, didn't tell the judge that there was this element of politics behind the formation of the dossier when requesting surveillance.
But the dossier didn't start with the Hillary Clinton campaign.
It started with the Washington Examiner, but that was
which
before,
is a conservative newspaper.
Before the British spy Christopher Steele got involved. The right. Hillary Clinton campaign, the Democrats funded it when
right, but they
the
weren't funding
Trump stuff.
Correct, but they weren't funding Christopher Steele specifically. They didn't even realize that that's what they were doing. That's not even the issue here. It is the issue. As you laid it out, you're right.
In a short time.
Correct. As you laid it out, that's the sequence of events. The problem here is that the devil's always in the details, and I think that in Washington, as in a lot of other business in the world, they try to assume that our eyes are going to glaze over and we're not going to be able to catch the nuances of all of these things. The problem that I see, I'm going to go take us back up to 39,000 feet. The issue that I see developing in front of us is that an institution as important, crucial to the security of the United States of America as the FBI is being impugned, and it's being impugned for political and personal reasons, I believe.
All right, but let's just look at it the other way, just to be fair and balanced. If you see, and you're a lawmaker up there, and you see material that shows you that the FBI or some bad apples
yes.
in the FBI are doing bad things in the name of the FBI or the DOJ, that potentially is a problem that can't be washed over by just saying that the agency itself is just so great for many years.
All right. But again, context is important here, because if they were going after Carter Page, they were after Carter Page before Carter Page was part of the Trump campaign, mm-hmm. it appears. And if, in fact, that is the case, and we'll know more about it when all this is released. But if they were looking at Carter Page from prior to his Trump years, right, as they were Manafort prior to his Trump years, then you're going to see some other, you have to put that in the perspective of, you know, maybe Donald Trump wasn't about going out and you know, going out and seeking collusion or, you know, conspiracy with the Russians, but some of the people around him might have been tainted by their impact with their exposure to, you know, either Russian money or
totally
know,
agree, totally
you know.
Agree.
So
but
that's
I'm just saying
point.
That when you see the text messages back and forth, and they are pretty pointed as far as the hatred for Donald Trump and the fact that he wins and, you know, the Hillary Clinton kind of support, it paints a different picture that some of these lawmakers are telling, you know, the story about. Mm-hmm. And who knows if this memo backs all of that up or not.
All I'm going to say is I would like then Trey Gowdy's text messages to be released about
yeah,
that had to do
son.
With Donald Trump in the days around the election.
He wasn't exactly a fan.
Yeah. Let's see what those look like, too.
Quickly, though, Brett, do you think he'll speak to the base in the State of the Union, or is he going to be show more of a meet me in the middle kind of bipartisan approach to
everything that we're trying to that we're hearing from the White House is that he's going to reach out and talk about more things that are bipartisan, because they know that the only way that they're going to compete at all in the midterms is to get some of these moderate Democrats to come along on infrastructure, on prison reform, on things that cross party lines.
All right. Again, so proud of you, Brett, for changing the course of history. You're going to end up in a history book for that John
totally
Kelly interview.
It was kind
of a moment.
Pretty
man.
Awesome.
Good thing they recorded me and listened to you.
Yes, that's exactly right. Thank you. All right. Thanks, Brett. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Brett.
Brett Pair, you can see him tonight. on special report on the Fox News channel starting at 5 o'clock. But we always say, go ahead and
record him.
Yeah. You can record him and watch him. We're off at 5:45 today for Northwestern basketball. If
you want to catch the back half of the show, that's okay.
Yeah, it's okay by us. God bless Tom Skilling for being here.
Thank you, Tom.
Well, it's a pleasure. I didn't expect this sort of congratulatory.
Yeah, no.
Open. What's behind this exactly?
You're welcome and needed today.
Yes.
Just your voice of reason. Your joviality.
Is that what it is? A voice of reason?
Mm-hmm.
You're calm in a storm, Tom, and we're in a storm.
Yeah,
we're no matter how we look at it. I'm in a dental storm. The nation is in a crisis of confidence.
These are unsettled times, and the word that you've had more dental work done really puts us over the top.
So many people are worried about my dental health.
I know. You know, it's funny. I cracked a tooth recently, and I blame this. I attribute it all to the aging process. Seems like things start, going off in circles or in cycles at this point.
So wasn't a Kalamata olive at a Greek restaurant?
No, it wasn't.
Because Roe blames all Greek people for
this. It was a green olive.
Oh, green.
It was in my home, but it was a Greek olive.
Well, wait, I thought so it was a Greek olive that you bought at the grocery store?
Yeah.
Or was it at a restaurant? Oh, okay.
At a grocery store.
It's easy to do that because, and I always am mixed up which ones have pits and which ones don't, And if you bite into one, presuming
sometimes
it doesn't.
Sometimes you find out the hard way.
I know.
Sometimes they're mislabeled. You ever seen that when you go to the little grocery bar and you sort of scoop in the pitted ones and they're not pitted?
I see.
It surprises you sometimes.
Well, this is exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. And I had some pitted and some unpitted at the same time, and I realized, and a pit got loose. You know how they get, like, in your mouth.
I know.
You're still got the rest of them going.
Right.
You know where that pit is, and you're trying to take inventory. You're trying to identify what quadrant of your mouth it's in. Is it in a safe place?
Calibrate the chewing.
Yes, and I'm coordinating. I'm in sequence, as they like to say in golf now. I'm sequencing the pit that it'll be in the right, and somehow. It broke like a broken arrow. It just got loose.
Wow!
And it literally took out three teeth simultaneously.
Wow! Now let me ask something, Ro. Was this a paramedic event?
Feel it at the time.
That
it cracked it, but it was like a stress fracture in two of them.
I know.
Oh my God.
And then you felt the cold.
Then I had a heat cold reaction to it, so I went to the dentist, and I'm like, "Hey, El Dudo, what's happening here?"
My favorite is to fake that, like, "No, it doesn't hurt." Then they spray you with the cold water.
Oh,
they're like, "Oh, really?"
That's it.
Like, "Oh,
I know.
All right, it hurts."
Remember that scene in Trains, Planes, and Automobiles where they're going down the highway and they're in the wrong lane and they go between these two semis.
Yeah.
And Steve Martin is grabbing the dashboard with such ferocity that his fingers literally create an indentation within the... That's what I'm like in the dentist chair.
Hanging on for dear life.
Yes, I am.
I know.
And I mentioned Marathon maybe before. My dentist would always say, "Well, I got ready for you. I watched Dustin Hoffman in Marathon Man last night."
For those who have not seen that movie, that scene is on YouTube. Just watch that.
I know. He's a dental...
Is it safe?
Oh, he's like, what is he, a Nazi or something like that, who's into torturing people with dental techniques or something, like drilling through your teeth. And it's awful. Yeah. It's just awful. And and that runs through our minds whenever you hear that drill start cycling up.
Yeah, So I heard a lot of the drill today, but I'm through it now. It's all good.
Well,
it's, you know,
you're doing very well.
This is the end of this, by the way. I've had three teeth actually dealt with here. This is the last one.
Good.
This is where it all started, but then they stopped on that one. They worked on the other two, and now they're coming back to finish this project. All I need to do is get the crown next week, and I'm good to go for the next 100 years.
Ro, the world is a better place having heard that. I feel. Don't you feel better, Anna?
Better? Why does that make you feel better?
Well, because
he's being supportive. I think that's right.
I am. I'm trying to be. I don't like to see a fellow human being in pain.
Suffer.
I love that. This is one of my favorite texts of the day. 630. I work for a dentist. Men are such wimps. Try having a baby.
We are. Yeah.
Let me tell you
Isn't
something.
That the truth?
I'd like you to try to push your baby through what they just did right there.
I know.
See what happens.
I know. Gee. I remember a comedian once. His wife was having a baby, and he was in the delivery room, and he said, "Honey, does it hurt?" She said, doesn't hurt. She said, picture taking your lip and pulling it over your head and down your back.
Yeah, how does that feel?
Huh? Yeah, right. Exactly.
Oh, and, how does that feel?
I know. It just
unimaginable. Yeah.
And I love that smell, too, when they're drilling in there. You know, it smells like burning whatever, rubber or something. Yeah. I don't.
They got to get rid of that. That and the drilling sound.
That,
they've got to go away.
That's smell, true. It's like a burn. It's like burned
nothing
hair.
Nothing you can do about that. Well, it is. It's burned hair because your teeth and your hair are the same element.
Right, exactly.
Ew.
Look, if we can land a man on the moon, can't we come up with a better drilling technique? It's like I put that in the same category as when, you know, you're using a Microsoft product and you put the name of the file on there. And if you put a slash mark or a quotation mark, it tells you, kicks out the title you're putting in. Mm-hmm. It can't handle a slash mark. Or, for instance, when you put the time in there and you put a colon 453, it'll kick that out and said, can't take it, you know, and that's because
you
put
and then you try three more times, you're like, I wonder why this isn't working.
Yeah, why isn't it working?
And then it doesn't show up in your files.
I gotta take it out.
Right. And,
what's that have to do with burning hair?
Nothing. But
just getting better.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, solving the problem here, the burning smell and the drilling sound and all, would be in the same category as things you think we ought to, in this technological world, be able to pull off. You know?
Yes, I agree.
They should. I mean, I don't know why. Today would have been a good day to have been knocked out.
It's true.
Because this is
pretty ugly.
The last two, prepping this too, because it's the back one. It's the last one, you know, before Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Right back there. And it is like it's and it's just hard to get to, and it's just been a thing. And I'm like, this would have been a much better thing if I just woke up with this thing done, like weeks from now.
Right. I know. Well, it's you're done with it, Rose.
Pretty much. We're gonna be done next Monday. I'll be in here complaining next Monday about
it. And then that's it. That'll be the last complaint.
But there's no pain with that, is there? I mean, really?
I don't think a lot. Not like the last. Not like today or the one before.
Right. It's just uncomfortable, right?
Yeah.
And they fit it in there, and it just has to get used to your mouth.
No.
So you're sore.
No, that's part. And I've had when he put the cap on, cap or crown. What is it?
Hmm.
The crown.
The crown is what eventually is. Yeah. It is now the temporary.
And when he puts the crown on, I love my dentist. I've been going to my dentist forever and ever and ever and ever. Yes. And he's great. He's the dentist of the stars. But I like to complain. He knows I like to complain about all this. And he gets it all done. But at some point today, even today, he's like, all right, listen. Because I was stopping him. I like the stuff he knows. And that's the worst. You have a stuffy nose, and you can't really breathe out of your nose, but you definitely can't breathe out of your mouth.
No.
So I was like, I can't. I kept raising my hand. And at one point, he was like, you know, we do have to get done with this at some point today. I do have other patients. So I'm like, okay, all right, I'm going to do my best.
You know what's awful, too, is having to sneeze or cough when the work is being done inside your mouth.
The worst.
The water goes down the wrong way, you know, as they're
it's the worst.
Irrigating your mouth.
Nothing good about it.
I know.
But
see, I love my dentist, too. I feel the same way. We always had a good laugh. And it actually, you know, kind of eases the pain of what you're about to go through. And it never really is, when you look back on it, that painful anymore.
No, it's true. It's not more in your mind, isn't it?
It is. It's all a psychological thing, yeah.
Really? I want you to be in here looking out right now, and I'll tell you if it's psychological. With the stuff wearing off. I actually had him shoot me up twice because I started to feel it again, because I have to use the non-epinephrine one or whatever. And so he goes, it's fast acting. I go, fast?
Yeah.
It's like, it was like 20 minutes, and it was like, and it was already starting to have a problem. But
I'd love to know how that moment was when you first discovered that it was wearing off.
He goes, are you sensing it, or is it really hurt? I go, I wouldn't be, I want this to be over with.
I know.
So he redid it. But we got it all, it got all done. It was fine. Everybody's happy.
Well, I can tell you're kind of upbeat, surprisingly given the trauma you've been through.
Yeah.
And I think you're to be commended. You are a trooper.
I'm a trooper, Tom.
Well, as
when I was traveling
Kevin
last week,
pointed out, coming in here with, you know, what is it, travel
jet lag,
jet
a few
lag.
Days ago, and then today he shows up to work. It's an inspiration to us.
I was
Tom.
Up. I did
what you do for us, Ro.
Thank you,
suffering
Tom.
You go through on our behalf.
Everyone rallies around him here at the radio station.
Right,
Tom. It gets us going.
Is that right?
That we get out of bed in the morning for. Uh-huh.
So I don't know how to take this, but my travel partner last week said to me what a surprise it was. Mm-hmm. To be with me, because they thought for sure I was going to be a total pain in the keister, you know, throughout the whole thing. And
the traveling process.
Yes, the traveling process, and not, you know, not like I was up first thing in the morning. I was ready to jump into the jungle or jump into the city or do whatever it was. It was like the whole, whatever, wherever we were, I was ready to, you know, to go do it.
Yeah.
And they, and it was, that came as a complete surprise that I wasn't like a complete nut and afraid of everything. Because everybody thinks that that's all I am, is a nut and afraid of everything. And they would normally be right. But sometimes there are moments where you just have to,
I know, vent.
Yeah, you got to just go. You just got to go do whatever it is.
You know, the metaphor is, or the simile, I don't know, which one would it be? We're all like pressure cookers, and every now and then you got to pop the lid just a little bit to let it come out.
And
so the whole
mechanism
doesn't blow up, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And then when you got to go do whatever you got to go do, you just go do it. And it's like, I didn't complain about going to the dentist today. I complained about leaving the dentist.
Thank God we're here for you.
Thank God.
No,
thank God
there's a million people right now who are worried, or not worried, but are listening to this thinking,
They're on the edge of their seats wondering how this came out. Yeah. And now everybody can relax now.
847, I had a tooth pulled during my lunch hour today and went right back to work.
Yeah.
Wow.
No problem.
Roe strong right there.
That is really strong. Mm-hmm. And by the way, Roe, you sent video from your Argentinian trip of the rainforest. That is beautiful down there. Did you put that up online for folks to see on Facebook?
I should do that, actually. I'm not familiar with the Facebook, so I will. Hey, get that down on my Facebook, would you?
He's got people for that. Yeah, he's got to tell his people now.
It's good to have people for that.
But it makes you want to go there, doesn't it, when you see the rainbows and the waterfalls and the mountainous region and just gorgeous.
How big were the mountains by you there? That was really surprising to me.
It's rolling terrain, but it creates this...
The
effect, because it's a waterfall area. It's the largest waterfall complex in the world. It's
beautiful.
On the Brazilian-Argentinian border. I suggest that people go to this, because they built it so that there are areas of it that anybody, I mean, there were people on these trails, because the trails have guardrails and stuff on them, and they're above the jungle floor, that, you know, there were toddlers with their parents. There were 80-year-olds who were being taken to see it before they go. There was one guy who was an amputee that was on the trail.
Well, that's great. It sounds like it's very accessible.
And it takes you right to the waterfall. And some of these trails, some of them are a little bit more, you know, it's a little harder on some than others. But there are a couple that are designed for anybody to get on, to get out to see this stuff, which I think that is, to me, the most amazing contribution that you can make to humanity is to let people get out.
Everybody get out to see it.
Get out to see it. And that the thing that is so great about this is you get to go out and you're walking through the jungle above the floor. You get to see all the things that can kill you in the jungle, but they can't really get to you. And then you get to this waterfall, and it is
stunning.
It's not just like a waterfall like you'd see like in a movie, like a single little waterfall. It's miles upon miles of an arc around you of these waterfalls, 200 and something waterfalls in this complex, and the sound is just constantly vibrating because of the sound of it, and
it looked beautiful.
It's just amazing.
I'm sure there are people who are going to go. I put that on my wish list seeing the thing.
I didn't have it on my wish list before, because I knew very few people who had been to Argentina, and then I saw it and I thought, and Rose reports were spectacular.
I know, really, it was very cool.
Iguazu. I think it's how you pronounce it. Iguazu Falls,
and it's on the border with Brazil.
There's a Brazilian side and an Argentinian side, and the Argentinian side has the better way to get into the falls. The Brazilian side has a better view of the falls.
Wow. Did somebody put a, what do they call them, zip line up there somewhere?
No, they have, there's all kinds of things. There's like a train that takes you up into one of the fall, to get to the top of the big one.
Yeah.
The mouth of the devil. Don't worry about it. It's all fine. Throat of the devil, I should say. That's when they tell you what it actually is, it's so much prettier in Spanish. But when you, you take a train up to that, and then you have to walk like a mile or so.
Man, these almost look like CGI Hollywood productions.
It totally does. It does not look real.
Pretty crazy.
No.
Yeah, no, it's wow. It's
like
insane.
Definition of paradise, I think.
It was beautiful. Yeah. It looked like Jurassic Park. You know,
it does. Kind of the setting well, you there. Feel well. They take you there. Is a, there's? A, do you want to go down into the water and mm-hmm. then get into the falls from underneath, like mm-hmm. in a boat,
ooh.
Which they will. They which they do. That, my friends, is like Jurassic Park because you get like on a big truck, flatbed truck with seats on it, and it goes down this muddy road. You know, like that scene
right.
where the guy's trying to get
sure.
away with
yes.
the stuff in Jurassic
when all
Park.
Of a sudden, the little-
yeah.
You know, the
and the thing gets him?
It creatures,
was
yeah.
Exactly like that.
An appearance, yeah.
And all I could think about was that guy. You know, like in this, and it was raining, and it was like, oh my God, I'm going to die.
This isn't going to end well.
Right. And then you get down into the, and that is, it is a life changing experience.
Oh, yeah.
And it's right here in our, at least in our hemisphere.
Yes.
It's only 11 hours away by flight. Don't worry about it. You're fine.
Yeah. And all you right. said only 3 hours difference. So the jet lag
yeah.
is probably, we're, kind
oh, Argentina is. I mean, you saw the Grammys last night. They were still singing about Evita.
Yeah.
Argentina is worth is definitely
out.
Worth checking out.
Yep.
All right, we got to run here, but we got cold air moving in.
Yeah, we're in chilly air now, and tomorrow warms up briefly, mid 40s Wednesday. Then colder air comes in. What's interesting about the pattern evolving from Thursday forward through next week? Well, I count five different little disturbances, any one of which could produce some snow around here. So the snow will become more frigid. None of them looks huge at this point, but the first of them will be in Friday night and Saturday, and there may be a huge one there that we're not seeing yet. But it's we mentioned last week that this is the kind of pattern we'll be watching and reporting
right.
on.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
okay.
Tom.
See you guys.
Right.
Happy Monday.
Andrew McCabe had been expected to retire this year, but we're told he is stepping down immediately as deputy director of the FBI.
I can tell you none of this decision was made by that of the White House. In any specifics, I would refer you to the FBI, who I believe will be making a statement later today.
Another one bites the dust.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, there's your deputy director of the FBI is now stepping down, although the reporting on this changed from abruptly stepped down to was forced out.
Yeah, even stronger than that, I think it swung, because New York Times earlier was saying widely expected move, he steps aside, and that was quickly corrected to be a little more abrupt than that.
It's after the Christopher Wray, who is the director of the FBI, saw the 4-page memo. Now, this is Brett Baer was just down with us from the Fox News Channel and says this, that Mr. Wray saw the 4-page memo that the House Intelligence Committee is expected to release at some point, to vote to release. This mm-hmm. is a 4-page memo that would be outlining the great malfeasance of the FBI and federal intelligence officers concerning the investigation into Carter Page and some of the other people around Donald Trump and an abuse of the FISA warrant and that at least as Republicans are printing it, Democrats on that committee are saying that everything was done exactly as it should have been done. It does seem to be a pretty political state document that is going to come out here. But the story that is being spun in conservative media is this, that Christopher Wray saw that 4-page memo by the Republican on the Republicans, Nunez memo, essentially, on the Intelligence Committee of the House, and then came back and told Mr. McCabe it's probably in his best interest to step down while he can still retire. Mike Monaco.
How are you?
Attorney at law.
You remember that Sessions was trying to encourage Wray to fire McCabe. And Wray threatened to leave the FBI rather than to fire McCabe not long ago.
Correct.
And so I'm surprised that this is accurate, that it's just this 4-page memo that was written by Nunez that is strictly cherry-picked the issues that are most helpful to the Republicans, apparently, on this, according to the Democrats, according to Schiff, because Schiff is apparently writing his own for the Democrats, mm-hmm. part of the Congressman Schiff, who's also on that committee, who's trying to write his own response to the Nunez.
Correct.
Nunez is the guy who, remember when he ran to the White House claiming he just found mm-hmm. some mm-hmm. secret information, and that he got from the White House?
Right. And he didn't share it with his own committee. He went right to the White House and then came back, then stepped aside. He recused himself, but never actually recused himself. And Nunez was part of Trump's transition team.
Right. So he's hook, line, and sinker in with Trump on this.
Right.
And the fact that they're doing what they're doing, that is to say that the president of the United States is trying to undermine the effectiveness of the FBI, and the Justice Department is so outrageous in this case. I mean, it's, you know, there are like a dozen things that he's done already that seemed at the time he did each one of them thing, each one of the things you think, well, he's not going to do. Oh, he did do that. Wow, that seems like obstruction. This seems like obstruction. Everything he's done that seemed like obstruction with respect to this investigation. Even claiming that, remember when he rewrote his son's, he made up the excuses for his son's meeting with the Russians?
Yes.
I mean, it's just amazing what he's done.
Do you think the House memo should come out and the response as well? Is that good for all of us to sort of take a look? The public gets to see whatever is not going to harm any sort of national secrets or issues, you know.
Well, that's a good question. Of course, somebody from the Department of Justice sent a letter to Nunez saying it would be completely reckless for him to do that, to expose apparently secrets, but without having seen what was in the four-page memo. So it's hard to say. But
it's coming out, and the Democratic response
does seem that way.
The Democrats have their own version,
and that'll come out too.
That should come out too. Now it'll be interesting if they only allow the Republican one to come out, and not the Democratic one to come out. That will find its way to the light of day.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
I'm sure
the New York Times will end up finding a way to publish that.
Well, just like in the Senate, when the senator from California released the was it Steele the dossier regarding the fellow from that the company that hired Steele,
right?
Yeah, and that that was obvious. I mean, it's just amazing.
Well, that actually wasn't a piece of that was a piece of privately produced intelligence, so it wasn't covered under any of the secrecy laws of the United States.
But the senator did not wait for the Republicans to.
But once the Republicans release theirs, it will then declassify all the germane issues.
Right, right.
And so Democrats can respond to those issues because they have been released.
I mean, I just saw the movie The Post.
Yes.
And, what'd you think?
It was fabulous.
Did people applaud?
Yeah, did they stand
exactly.
up and
it was
cheer?
Fabulous. And in you just see Nixon. It's interesting. They have the real voice of President
the
Nixon.
The audio from the president.
Exactly. Right. Where he's blasting the Washington Post. It's not unlike our current president.
Right.
You know, it's just scary.
It is.
It's so simple. So exactly similar. It's scary.
It will be. Once this comes out, I think that Republicans, by creating this clearly pointed response, that they're dying to get out because they would like to diminish whatever is going to come out of the Mueller investigation. They would like the Mueller investigation to seem like it is completely political and therefore neuter it. You know, or drown it in the bathtub before it gets out of the bathtub. This is
which is really anti-democratic, anti-American. What they're doing, what that effort is.
What I'm waiting for a Republican to stand up and come out of this fever dream.
Yeah.
And go, wait a second. If this were the other way around, we'd be out of our minds.
I know, exactly.
We'd be asking that the Democrats who are trying to protect their Democratic president from potentially committing a crime be jailed themselves.
Exactly.
Right? Isn't that what Republicans...
Exactly.
And when did Republicans become anti-law enforcement?
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
I mean, and
that
this
they're the ones seeking to undermine the effectiveness of the FBI. It's amazing.
Right.
And
that's not to say that there aren't bad investigations. But
investigators, which I think,
right.
When people just even read those text messages, I think there's enough there to say that these two particular individuals,
well, you know, the FBI,
cast a
but they moved them when they found it,
and
they're
entitled to have an opinion.
Well,
they're not, once you become an FBI agent, you're not disallowed to have an opinion, a political opinion. Now, in this, and McCabe's wife ran for office. He got approval for her to run for the office, the state senate in Virginia. He got approval from the FBI for her to do that. So, I mean,
still, do you think, is that the person who should be part of the Clinton email investigation? I mean, you're in court all the time. Don't federal judges, even if there's an appearance of conflict, even if you could be impartial, you step aside, don't you?
But
when
they
have any connectivity?
Moved that guy out, though.
He was part of the Clinton email investigation.
At the time, right. That's
there's
true.
There's no doubt about that. And I'm not saying that he couldn't be impartial. I don't know him. I don't know what his role was and how he conducted himself on that investigation. But
if your wife, or your husband in this case, were running for office, are you responsible for his political affiliations?
I think in this case, yes, you are. I think if you have any link, even if it's your former firm, if it's a friend, if it's anyone, I think in that type of situation, you are.
Well, certainly it's unfortunate that that happened in this case, since this is the biggest case in America at the moment, and that and McCabe had that connection to his...
Okay, so McCabe's out.
McCabe's out.
So McCabe's out. I mean, as of right now, McCabe is out. And whether he's pushed aside or whatever, they're going to release this memo. The question is this. If Mueller finds connectivity between... by the way, the centerpiece of McCabe here, what we're talking about is what is ostensibly the reason for removing him is because he suggested that they continue a foreign intelligence surveillance warrant against
Carter Page,
who at the time Donald Trump had said was one of his foreign policy advisors. It appears that Carter Page was already under investigation by the FBI.
For connections with the Russians. Right. They have, that's what they have. The FBI has a lot of discovery, okay, that's secret, mm-hmm. where they have picked up telephone messages and conversations and communications between the Russians in America and the Russians in Russia.
Right.
And that's how Flynn got into trouble. That's why Sally Yates went over to the White House to say, you can't have Flynn in this job. You got to be careful. Flynn is compromised. And so what do? They fired Sally Yates almost the next day.
Right.
And so it's like, this is
the issue. So the issue is, well, you can't be listening in on Americans. They're only listening in on Americans who are talking to foreigners in a foreign land.
Right.
Right. And they're talking to those foreigners in a foreign land. This is like saying by the same token, if Osama bin Laden had called a guy in the United States and was talking to him, and you said, well, why are you investigating this guy who's talking to somebody?
All of a sudden, the Republicans are concerned about the surveillance.
Right.
All of a sudden. Really.
Because it's going after their guy and they want their tax cut. They got their tax cut. This is the moment. You got your tax cut.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You're not going to get... Let me tell you something. There's diminishing returns now.
Yeah.
And you see, the problem is you can see how fragile, to me, the thing that is most scary about this, is you can see how fragile democracy is.
Oh, for sure.
That obviously you get one guy who has decided on his own, he's going to be the arbiter of all things.
Right.
And the Constitution can just go straight to hell. Now, people would make this argument about Barack Obama. I heard this argument. I remember the guys hold on a second. I remember the guys with the three-corner hats that were standing with their pitchforks and their signs in 2010, right? Talking about because healthcare seemed to be by taking the federal government and applying it to the healthcare industry and then requiring people to actually carry their own health insurance. This was an aberration of the Constitution, and therefore the whole thing should be canceled, and the federal government is a total overreach on their part. And this guy, how dare this guy? Remember the pictures of Barack Obama with the Hitler mustache on him that they were carrying around? Remember that? That was all that. Now,
I don't remember.
Flash
that.
Forward.
I remember very little of what you actually say.
Obama with Hitler mustache.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me search that.
But I'll say this. The Republican...
Oh, wait, let me finish my point.
Oh, I'm sorry.
My point is this. That was the great crime of the late 2000s into 2010, 2011, right? And that was the thing that led to the 2010 wave election and 2012. What we have here now is not that. What we have here now is clearly a president who wishes to change the system, to decentralize the power from the other branches of government and from the institutions within the executive branch and reassemble it under his control in the White House. It's clear this is not about healthcare reform or Obamacare or anything like that.
It's more personal.
This is personal,
right.
And this is very, very, very dangerous.
Well, I see two of the congressmen, two Republican senators are now prepared to have a pass a bill to support Mueller's.
It's not constitutional. You can't do it.
Hold on. You can pass a bill that would protect Mueller from being fired.
How?
How not? You think because the president has power over him?
Because he's part of the executive branch. Mueller operates at the pleasure of the Justice Department.
And if they pass a law, if the Senate passes, now who's to say whether the president will sign it, but if that happens, okay, they're talking about it today, so I'm assuming they've thought this out, that they can do it. But it strikes me that if they just have the effort alone would send a message to the president. The president tried to fire him already. The president tried to fire him last summer. And the
only way to do that is to bring him into the Senate, is to take the Mueller investigation once he gets fired, because that's next, by the way.
Yeah.
This is, you can see this happening. McCabe is gone. Rosenstein will be gone within a week or two, and then they're going to go after Mueller. And at that point, the only way they can do it is if the Senate, that it seems to me, and you're the lawyer, I'm not.
Takes over the investigation.
But if the Senate takes over the investigation and uses Mueller. Well, that's the only way to protect Mueller. You can't protect Mueller. You cannot, the Senate cannot pass a law.
They to can, protect
them? To change the executive branch. To try to affect what the executive branch's powers are. Right?
You would think so.
That would require a constitutional amendment. It would not require an act of law.
I just think if he fires Mueller, there's a constitutional crisis, and you just don't know how you can.
We're getting close to that right now, it seems to me.
Yeah, before you get to the Mueller firing, right now you have one.
You look at what Mueller's doing. So,
all right, stop. We're going to find this out on the other side.
Sure,
I'm sorry. Mike Monaco is with us. Oh, Tom Petty. Mm. Nice tribute to him last night at the Grammys.
That was probably one of the nicer parts of the Grammys last night.
I thought the Grammys was great last night.
You liked it?
I love the Elton John thing with Miley Cyrus.
Miley Cyrus. Yeah.
They're resurrecting her image, are they not? And the
She wasn't naked last night. She was wearing a beautiful ball gown.
A lovely gown.
You can sing. We're putting you with Elton John. He's going to fix you.
It worked.
All right, but let's get back to the Mike Monaco's with us to the issues at hand here. You just said you think that we're getting close to a constitutional crisis. Yes. Can you explain that?
Yes, because not unlike Watergate, where the president was going behind the scenes, trying to undermine the FBI, trying to undermine the Washington Post and other
institutions,
exactly. This president is doing things that no other president has ever done, I don't think. I mean, Nixon tried to do it, and this is outrageous what he's doing. Because, you know, you want, as a country, you want the people to think that law enforcement is doing a good job. Not that they're against the America. The same thing with what did he say about the media? He said the media was America's enemy. That's the worst thing a president could say.
Yeah. Well, I want to stop. Why were people mad at Barack Obama? They were mad at him about health care. They were mad at him about executive orders.
You seem to be missing the biggest reason they were mad at him.
No, well, yes.
That's
people. Yes, there are certainly people who were mad at him.
And those people voted for Trump.
Yes, okay. But let's just go back to policy here for a second. Let's just pretend for a minute that it's about policy.
Okay.
Because that was the argument that was made.
Okay.
That policy was about health care. It was about all these things that he was doing by executive order, and if it was so important, why don't you do it by law? Well, there have been two major legislative things that this administration has been able to get done in the last year. The rest has been done by executive order, and tons of it by executive order. Right. So it's gone. It's slid. All the stuff that you were mad about with Barack Obama has been undone. OK, now you can be happy about that. There's been tax reform. You can be happy about that. There's a conservative on the Supreme Court. You can be happy about that. All of those things. The lasting legacy is going to be a stripping down of the guardrails that exist in the government that protect from corruption. And when a president is upset that the investigative services are going after him for whether or not he's involved with a foreign government to start with, which is, you know, that investigation, if that gets halted in midstream, creates a constitutional crisis. There are some other things that are going on here, too. There's a judge that's willing to take on an emoluments case potentially against the president, because he has not separated himself out from his business.
Not at all. Every week he makes money For his for himself.
And he can promote his own brands by going to his, you know, we're going to all those places. All right. That tells me I got to go. But that's that is an issue.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
All right. Thank you, Mike Monaco. Yes, it's the Rokan Show. Yes, it's Anna DeVlantis.
Yes, yes, it's Monday. Yes, you have, you're battling through your tooth issues.
Yes, I've got dental issues.
Roast drunk.
You're doing thank a you. Great job, bro.
It's going to be like 9 months of this.
It is?
War on my mouth.
Oh, brother.
Classic
I wish
Olive
they could do
Pitt,
it sooner.
Seen it 100 times.
Well, actually, it'll be, by the time we're done with this, it will be 6 full months.
Wow. It's almost like you were pregnant.
I know. Wait, let that sink in. Listen, don't anybody move. Let that sink in. Yes, it was like I was pregnant.
Just please don't say you understand what it's like to be pregnant.
No. No, but she said 6 months. It's like you were pregnant. yeah.
Well, you don't know for the first like month or whatever. So it's kind of like 7, 8, 9.
Yeah, you do kind of deduct the first.
Yeah, all right.
All right.
All right. Let's just move on.
Fine.
We want to be seen as as a show of record.
Is that okay? when did that start?
I don't know. But I would just like to, but that's what I tell the bosses upstairs. We'll be the show of record. Don't listen to the show. Gestation period in the Homo sapien is 6 months.
I said average. Like pregnant, meaning
yeah,
similar.
I know what you meant. Like, right. I know what you meant. Anyway, the point is this, that that we'll, and I will, and I'm writing a book about my experiences, my dental experiences.
With your
chronicling yeah. Your journey.
My journey, right. Rose Strong, 6 months of dental work.
It's like being pregnant.
that's like a 6 month pregnancy.
I could have had a baby in this time.
It's like being pregnant.
That's the subtitle.
The Rokan story.
Right.
I was almost pregnant.
Right.
I'd read it.
All right. You know what? Yes. Yeah, thank you. He is such a good suck-up. I love him.
He's great.
He's the best. Oh, I'd read it, sir. Oh, God, I love your work.
Sure,
it
would be the best
yeah.
memoir ever.
All right, here we go. This is an important moment, I think, that we're going to have right here. Don't anybody move.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
I'll get on with it.
Okay.
Number 5.
Jay-Z was the first guest on the new Van Jones Show on CNN. America was waiting for Van Jones to have his own show.
That's what the promos say. I think you read that from the CNN release.
I don't think they actually were, but whatever. Van Jones gets his own show. Van Jones, I think, is a very good commentator. I mean, he's, you know, he holds his position very, very well as you know, one of the political commentators.
Yes, he does.
I think, you know, when you watch those panels on the news, the people who are absolutely, you know, on a straight line for their position, that is I can't imagine how hard that is now for many of the folks who are day in and day out taking the straight line for the president, who have to explain things that are 180 degrees away from what they were saying the day before.
Sure. But as you know, and I know, the way they book those shows, they almost require you to do that.
Oh, I do know that
and
well.
And you know that well.
I did that for a while, I know what it's like.
Yes. They make it very clear.
Yes. So this is your right. As a matter of fact, it's the reason I am no longer with the Fox News Channel. Because they asked me what I was going to say that day. Everything was written out. And then in the middle of it, I'm like, I don't really think this. Here's what I think. And that was the last day I worked
there.
Well,
okay.
Yeah.
Good knowing you.
Yes, exactly. That's not what you said you were going to say. Anyway, the point is this. That there is a... so he goes on. He's got Jay-Z. Now, Jay-Z, there was a whole conversation about asshole countries and then about the black unemployment rate because the president, you know, who subsequently tweeted to Jay-Z after this interview, like, hey, please remind Mr. Z that, in fact, it's the lowest black unemployment rate in the history of blacks or something like that.
Yeah.
Something to that degree. And here's what Jay-Z said.
It's disappointing and it's hurtful. It really is hurtful, more so. Like, everyone feels anger. But after the anger, it's really hurtful because, like, you're like looking down on a whole population of people. And you're so misinformed because these places have beautiful people and have beautiful everything. And it's just, Like, this is the leader of the free world speaking like this.
I gotta say, it is pretty astounding when you stop and you think about that. And I mean, every week there's something that would be the story of a presidency.
Mm-hmm.
And there's 52 weeks in a year. And there's 4 years of a presidency. That means that there are 210 stories for every one. Every one president would have one story like this.
Sure, he's had a
maybe
ton.
Two or three. He will have 210 by the time he is done.
Yeah.
Of his first term. And I still honestly believe that he would be reelected today.
His approval ratings don't necessarily reflect that, but you have to see what the race shapes up to be.
Well, it depends on who's going to run against him. Although it does turn out that Hillary was just as bad a candidate as we thought she was. Right? She's really not helping herself at all with this whole the whole deal where they had a guy in her campaign who was harassing the workers, and she knew about it. She's like, don't worry about it.
Well, yeah, you saw Patty Solis Doyle, Chicagoan herself, who briefly ran her campaign in 2008, who said, we pointed it out. We said this guy had problems, and instead they moved the girl who accused him, and he stayed on and continued on.
And let me say something else. I know this is not in here, I don't think. Hold on, I just want to make sure I'm not getting ahead of my own.
No, I don't think so.
No, it's not. Last night, it was a terrible mistake. Terrible mistake. For Hillary Clinton to agree to do that bit at the Grammys, and for the Grammys to ask her to do that bit, it proves a point to America that the criticism of the president can be nakedly political along the lines of Democrats, Republicans, or Hillary versus Trump or whatever. Trump can do that all day long, and we can see what he's doing, and we know what it's all about. But it's beneath the dignity. I hate to say, I cannot believe I'm saying these words. It is beneath the dignity of the Grammys.
Oh, gosh.
Right? I mean, that's really saying something. For the Grammys to go out and get Hillary Clinton and put her into a bit reading from Michael Wolff's book. It's below the dignity of that. First of all, that was even too political of a bit to begin with, but then to put Hillary Clinton in the middle of it? Come on now.
You're saying because it was Fire and Fury, that book that's been a little... Some of the facts in the book have been maybe not sourced so well.
No, it's not even facts. It's stuff that's just, you know, purely made up in the book. And I am not a defender of the President of the United States. Of this President of the United States, I'm not a defender. As a matter of fact, I kind of think that this is not going to end well for America, but this does not help.
Mm-hmm.
The Fire and Fury book being poorly sourced and causing the kind of trouble that it has caused in the journalism world, not for the president or any of the people around him, Bannon or anybody else. Because they all kind of deserve what they get in terms of the way that they behaved in this to begin with, and by talking to this guy and saying whatever it was. But there's a lot of irresponsible stuff in this book too. And then they have Hillary come out and read from the book, and it's just not.
But why are you holding her to a higher standard than the president himself?
Look
at everything he's done. But you're saying,
have you heard this show, Judy?
Yeah, I know, but not right now. You're like saying, well, they shouldn't have gone
because
there.
I'm right both times. It don't have to be put down one political line to be right. As a matter of fact, if you are down one line, you're wrong half the time. And in this particular case, I'm holding them all to a higher standard. And in this particular case, I think that they shouldn't have done. I don't think that Hillary Clinton helps herself in this. If she, when they go low, she should go high. Do you remember that? That worked out great for them.
Michelle Obama.
That there is no, that's, and let's face it. There is just enough. If I were her, I'd lay low like there's no tomorrow, especially now this stuff's coming out. It's not going to end well.
Well, the thing is, you criticize the president when he does something that's foolish, and you're criticizing.
Right.
I guess I'm being simplistic. I just thought it was funny.
Okay. I got itchy about it. I actually thought the whole bit was a little weird. Because you get in.
Well, I didn't know where they were going with it at first. I was kind of surprised to see her at the end, but
again, it's a show.
Yeah, I laughed.
It's a show about
music.
Yeah, the music industry
and comedians apparently.
Yes, for the first time ever,
Dave Chappelle.
Yeah,
very prominent.
But I got to move on. I've said my piece, but it was wrong. I criticize the president when he's wrong. I criticize Hillary when she's wrong. She was wrong last night. President's wrong. I can point to just about every day. But thank you. does not. See, this is the thing I hate about. I'm sorry to stick on this moment, but this is the thing I hate about this. Is that why is it that see, the truth is dying here because there's no truth unless it comes through a political filter. Isn't there such a thing as pure objectivity in some of these issues? What is wrong is wrong. And it's not just because it's wrong because it's Republican or Democrat. And if you're a Democrat, everything the Republicans do is wrong. And if you're a Republican, everything the Democrats do is wrong. Isn't there somebody who can stand up and go, here's where you're both wrong, and if you're right, you're right?
Sure.
For God's there sake.
There better be.
Well, right. Because once we lose that, we're going to be just like all the other blank hole countries around the world who have screwed up corrupt political systems that are in full dysfunction. And that's what, and nothing would make Russia happier or China happier, any of our strategic adversaries happier than to see America fall into the disrepair that they have been in. And I, for one, I'm not going to sit here and let that happen.
No, you're not.
I'm announcing my presidency in about an hour. Once I get over this toothache.
Number four.
Boy. Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Is considering ending his relationship with Boston radio station WEEI.
What time does he go on?
The Wee! Tom Brady. Hold on.
You need your reverb.
Tom Brady coming up at 4:20 and 7:20 in the morning.
Apparently he regularly calls into this show.
It
must be some
years.
Kind of a deal,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he's got a deal.
Yeah.
Got a deal.
Thank you. Because all the people who call into this show, they just have the goodness of their heart.
Most of them do.
Actually, 90% of them do.
We're very glad they do.
Now, Alex, is it Reamer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds right.
Is a host of the show on WEEI, mm-hmm. The Wee. 95.5 The Wee.
He's suspended indefinitely, by the way.
Time to take a wee.
A long one.
Now, because Alex Reamer, that can't be his radio name, can it?
Yeah, that's what he uses.
Is it?
Yeah.
The Reamer?
The Reamer. Afternoons on the Wee.
Probably right.
He was probably Alex St. John in his last job, though. And then he had a programmer goes, you know, you should use your real name. It's Reamer. Really? Okay, good. Oh, you're going to be in talk. You're going to be in sports talk. So Reamer's a good thing. Reamer with the Daily Ream coming your way at 7:20. All right, here you go. Anyway, the point is this.
Yeah, it's what he said. It's the point.
He insulted Tom Brady's 5-year-old daughter while discussing a documentary about the quarterback.
What'd you think?
It was fine.
Jesus.
It was okay.
Just fine? Come on.
All right, I thought the first scene was so staged, where Brady's, like, in the kitchen, his kids being an annoying little pissant. Like,
Do you say that about a 5-year-old?
Over the line, Reamer?
Totally over the line, I think.
I'd like to apologize to Tom Brady and his entire family, including Giselle Bundchen. Wouldn't you like to get with her?
Oh, gee.
You should give him some tickets.
Yeah, give him a ticket to an event or something. At least give him a heads up when you're going to have another ticket.
Foghat's playing.
Foghat's playing. Time of the tickets coming
up. We got tickets to Foghat coming up right after this.
Don't miss your chance to win on the Wii.
Rip me off on the Wii. Anyway.
Well.
So he's been suspended now. Brady responded to the comments. Now he was on the same station. He was on the Wii, but this is on a different show. Here's what Tom Brady said.
I've tried to come on this show for many years with, and showed you guys a lot of respect. I've always tried to come on and, you know, do a good job for you guys. So, you know, it's very disappointing when you hear that, certainly with my daughter or any child, you know, they certainly don't deserve that. Obviously evaluate whether I want to come on this show again, so I really don't have much to say this morning.
That's fine. I understand. So that's totally fine.
I will maybe I'll speak with you guys some other time.
Oh, he's backing up. That guy's backpedaling like there's no tomorrow, like on a tricycle.
He calls into his show and then he insults his kid.
Yeah.
That was
dumb. Well, you know what? It's guys who have to have they have to say sports radio, there's only so many things you get whipped up about. right? I mean,
really?
Quite honest.
Have you heard Stephen A. Smith?
Yes, but that's the point.
Up about
it's
anything.
The point. You got to get whipped up about stuff that people, you know, people aren't really that emotional about unless they got real money riding on it. I mean,
it's sports.
It's sports. At the end of the day, it's not going to affect your life. But people have to get all excited about it. So the guy said something. That's what he does.
I kind of want to see a documentary, though, and see if the girl was what
an
happening.
Annoying little fish ant coming up after 7:20. All right. I hope this doesn't affect his Super Bowl performance. Violetta is going to give us the traffic. But first, Judy tells us what's at the bottom of the hour news on WGN Radio.
Looks like a U.S. Army vet from Chicago will be deported. We'll have that story coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Right
now, Violetta?
Yeah.
She caught traffic right now in the 25s.
Thanks, Radio Man.
That's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here, 720 WGN. The top 5-5 continues. We're up to
number 3.
Donald Trump sat down with Piers Morgan for his first international TV interview.
Ooh.
Is that actually true? I'm not sure that's true. Morgan asked the president about the different topics ranging from climate change, the state of the European Union, feminism. Feminism one was classic because he's like, I wouldn't call myself a feminist. That's going too far.
That was honest.
Yeah. But the most interesting revelation came up, I think, about his tweeting habit, which I think we all kind of figured.
The whole world waits for you to wake up.
They wait
on tenderhooks.
Yeah, it's a crazy situation.
And are you actually lying in bed with your phone, working out how to wind everybody up?
Well, perhaps sometimes in bed, and perhaps sometimes at breakfast or lunch or whatever. But generally speaking, during the early morning or during the evening, I can do that. But if I'm, you know, very busy during the day, I'm very long hours and busy. And I'll sometimes just dictate out something really quickly, and they'll give it to one of my people to put it on.
Yeah.
His people do it.
His people do it. Yeah, those are the misspellers, or his people.
So the headline was, he tweets from bed. Mm-hmm. And your guess is it's really maybe not always from bed. It might be.
It's the can.
Number 2.
Michigan State men's basketball head coach Tom Izzo is reacting to the investigation into Larry Nassar.
Yeah.
Right? The doctor's going to get 170 years for molesting the gymnast from Gymnastics USA, mm-hmm. and other patients along the way. But here now, this guy was also the medical director at Michigan State University, where Tom Izzo is, of course, your basketball head coach, legendary coach. Could this go all the way to the top?
And it's been hard to focus in on basketball because when I do, I feel guilty. You know, I mean, there's so many things that you don't know, and I feel guilty putting any of talking about anything else than those women that I watched, and that's about, I'm sure it was draining at the end for me. I was also emotional because I'm an emotional guy, and I was proud of the job they did, and I hope that, I hope people rally around them. And I hope we'll rally around people that need us.
Yeah.
Sad. You know, you've got a situation now where even people who weren't part of the court case came out, they said 20 years ago, and alerted
1997
authorities about
multiple
this guy.
Multiple reports against Nassar.
Credible reports of abuse back then, and it persisted.
Oh, man. And finally,
number 1.
This is actually a very interesting sketch on Saturday Night Live about the sexual harassment Me Too moment,
mm-hmm.
right? So everybody's talking about, you know, what a pig Harvey Weinstein is and how awful, you know, like along the line here. But then it's come to Aziz Ansari.
Right.
And everybody stops and goes, well, wait, that sounds like a date that went bad, right? That was a date where, you know, they ended up going out, having a few drinks, fooling around, and then woke up the next morning and thought, what did I just do?
What was that all
about? I mean, who hasn't been on a date like that? Right? I mean, that's, and guys, I know, I know guys who are like, wake up and go, oh, wait, did I, no.
And then we all know women, too, who do the same kind of reaction. And she described it as consensual in her babe.com, relaying the facts from that night.
So when you're with a bunch of friends who are politically agitated, and you're having a conversation, how does it actually, how can you discuss current events in these very, very polarized times? Here's Saturday Night Live's take.
You know, speaking of the Times, did any of you guys read that op-ed piece about...
Honey, no.
What article are you talking about? The one about Aziz Ansari? I'm sorry, we can talk about it's something else. I was just curious what everyone thought, but...
No, of course. We can, we can talk about it. Yeah, I mean, I think we should.
We absolutely should.
Well, it's come to this. I'll go first.
Are you sure you want to do this?
Yes, I will speak on the topic of Aziz Ansari. I think...
Careful.
Yeah.
You could cut the awkwardness with a knife, right? Which is kind of how these conversations are happening everywhere.
About everything.
About everything.
Depends on what news channel you're watching. This is how you feel about however you feel, I think, as it turns out. That's why you should listen to this show, because we truly are fair and balanced.
Try to be.
All right. We're going to give you Judy Pilax news coming your way in 2 minutes. Let's close this thing up.
The top five at five.
Yeah, it's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlanzis right here on 720 WGN.
Shortened show today. Often, yep. A couple minutes here.
Actually, a pretty important basketball game for our beloved Northwestern Wildcats.
It is big, and it's a good opportunity for them against a top 25 team on the road. Michigan cracked the top 25, number 24 right now. This would get the Cats back to 500 in the Big Ten. Maybe get some more momentum going for the second half of the season, because it's kind of been a weird year for Northwestern. We were all so pumped on that, you know.
I was listening to Carm yesterday, midday ish,
yeah,
noon ish, with Harry, and they were talking about the way by which the Cats can make the tournament this year, and it's. It's a long way to go. Basically Carmen's saying that they got to win out.
Yeah.
But this is where it all starts right now tonight. Yeah, that's the most important thing.
Yeah, they've got 8 games left, so you got an opportunity to beat a top 25 team tonight. You also have a game against Michigan State at home. In a few weeks. So if you look at those two games.
I think
games,
it's the Horizon. That's how old I am. It's the Allstate Arena that is causing all the trouble here for them.
I went to a game there a few weeks ago. And
what's so weird about it?
It's empty. It's empty. It's awkward.
It's a basketball stadium. I remember when DePaul was there, you know, forever and ever and ever. They had trouble. That there's something odd about the sight line to the basket there. It is not. It's not, you know, there are some stadiums that are just a little harder to play basketball in, and that's one of them.
Players complain about it? That's what you hear?
That's what we have heard, yeah.
Yeah, that's weird.
Especially losing teams. That's where they tend to complain about it. Yeah.
It's a really big problem.
But they're getting, you know, they're going back in to their own home stadium, which is going to be sick, as the kids like to say.
Remember the last time they played Michigan was that the buzzer beater that pretty much sealed their fate into the NCAA tournament last year.
Who can forget that?
Yeah.
It's going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun. That's going to come your way tonight, coming up right now. And then we're back tomorrow. A.B. Stoddard's going to be with us. Adam Kinzinger is going to be with us. We've got Blackhawks Pick'em. And the House just voted to release that memo, the House Intelligence Committee.
It?
So we'll find out what's in it tomorrow, all that.